So right now, without further ado, let's see if we've got the big guy on the line, Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Marshall.
How are you?
When you called, I was just about to take some coffee, and I'm sorry.
That's
okay. It's wonderful down here in the big city. How are you?
Well, we've got ice and snow, and the only interesting and good thing that happened over the course of the weekend is we've got the NFL playoffs all settled out. Other than that, the world is in an uproar. Unbelievable, when you think about it. And you know, we even though it's called Cover Your Assets, we talk about climate change all the time. That Tonga volcano that exploded underwater, and the visuals that they have from outer space, and the visuals they have from the tsunami that went out, basically, it's just almost around the world, was absolutely amazing. They think this is one of the deadliest disasters in the biggest volcanic eruption in more than 30 years.
Well, somehow we're going to have to deal with it, but I referenced Al Gore in many, many years ago talking about climate change. And it's interesting if by 500 votes, Gore had won instead of Bush, we'd be in a better place. Not totally better, but in a better place, because this man, who was a politician, as well as a very intellectual person, had studied it, and he knew at that time, although others before him knew it as well, that this climate change was significant to the planet. And, you know, you hate to go back, but, you know, if you don't go back and learn, sometimes it makes it very difficult for you to go forward. So let's go back for a minute and realize that if Gore had been the president, he would have begun to initiate the programs to deal with this. That was a long time ago, which means many years during which his programs, and hopefully he would have convinced some others in the world to go along with it, would have mitigated what we're experiencing now. I'm not saying solve it, but mitigate it. Now, at the time of Gore, China was still developing and wouldn't have listened to anybody in terms of emissions. But the other countries were very mature, as was our own. But if the United States, under Gore, had cut back on emissions, however you want to do it, with automobiles or whatever, it doesn't matter, we would be in a different place, a good place. Not necessarily a perfect place, but a place from which we could launch additional programs in dealing with climate change. Those programs primarily have to do with capitalism and saying to the oil industry, no, the coal industry, nada, we're going the other way. But we didn't do that. So here we are now confronted with something that actually in 1994, oh my God, am I that old? In a newsletter, I actually began talking about what was going on in terms of coastal cities in the United States. That was in my Lynch Municipal Bond newsletter. And I was referencing the perspective from the standpoint of investing in coastal cities because of what could happen. And my reference at that time was the 30s, which I don't think I was around then, but in the 30s, when Florida basically was inundated with water. The bottom line of this is when one casts their ballots, they must be very serious about what the people they're electing to, be it at the presidential, the congressional, but probably more importantly, the local level, which do have a say in what's going on in the eco-economy, namely those things that will basically help, not solve, prevent some of these problems by dealing with climate change. If you're a coastal city, the obvious. Here we are. We're confronted with this now.
And what's interesting about this...
We have to really step up and take a big stick to what we've been doing in this country regarding industry and emissions. You know, it's wonderful to have all these products that we can buy and this and that. It's wonderful, all of these recreational things. It's wonderful, all the stuff we have. But if that stuff is contributing to this climate change, this terrible, terrible future, we have got to stop it, rid it, go the other way. Now, already the government is talking about electric vehicles, and we've been doing the wind energy and so forth. But I remember when they were talking, and actually I looked at those things in California with the wind energy, and I really focused on the wind energy they were developing off the coast of New England. But that was small potatoes in terms of what has been happening. And unless we just slam the hammer on the desk and say, this will end, and if we have to suffer for a couple of years because we don't have a lot of products, we don't have a lot of convenience, whatever it is, it must happen.
You know,
these things that we're experiencing, I will not be Notre Dame, but I will tell you, we probably won't be around. I'm not talking 20 years or 30 years or whatever, longer, but we will not be around as well we should be for a longer time if we don't take care of the earth. And I've seen many comments now. I get this stuff from all kinds of people, but the Indian law in this country, you know, and their whole thing before we screwed their economy up, the original Indians before Columbus, their whole thing was preserving the earth. They were grateful for what they had. You can read it if you just, I can't give you the source, but it's all over the lot.
You know, the reason
Indian culture, our original Indian culture, were all into preserving the earth and the waters. They had great reverence for it. And it's so interesting. We basically colonized them. And in the process, we ran right over what they were doing and preserving for a long time. And now we continue to destroy it.
Well, the reason I bring up
California,
Jim, the reason I bring up the
rivers, you'll see what I mean.
You know,
the earth is beginning to dry up. We say, oh, we have all this rain, we have all the fires. It's beginning to dry up because of what we've done with it. So the whole thing about the soliloquy is very simple.
You know,
check your politician, local, congressional, presidential, What are they saying? What are they going to do? I have grandkids. I hope they live forever. If you have grandchildren, I hope they live forever. But unless you cast the right vote, they might not live as long as they rightfully should, but they might not live as healthfully as they should. This is a crisis. I know we have a crisis in terms of our government and democracy, but you know, Mother Nature has a way of usurping any responsibility, big deal. And we must deal with it.
The reason I brought up the volcano is that we have enough problems in this world that we don't have control on, that we can't have control on, like these volcanoes, like these tsunamis. I mean, these are things that are there already. This is the Earth interacting with us. So we, on top of that, you add the climate change and our lack of response to it. It just puts us into a double jeopardy situation. That was my only point, is that we have enough problems that we can't control, like the Earth, but we can control climate change, and sooner or later we should get going on it. I have something I want to pass along to you, and this, I want your opinion on this. Worldwide, of course, we all know we live in a worldwide economy now. In China, Xi Jinping has urged the West not to slam the brakes by hiking interest rates too quickly, because, of course, the world economy is all connected there. What's your feeling about that?
Regarding China?
Yeah, and telling us not to hike interest rates too quickly because it's going to affect everybody.
I'll try not to curse. Some nerve. They have some nerve. Flip back to... Okay. In terms of that, one of their problems might be they own $1 trillion worth of U.S. government bonds. So as our interest rates go higher, the price of their bonds go lower. But really, their cost on those bonds is dramatically higher in rate than us going up 1-2%. I don't understand why they would make such a comment. The Chinese have normally been very reticent about those types of things. Something must be going on in terms of they're getting a little more aggressive in terms of the world stage. Example, I supported Russia in terms of what they're doing in Ukraine. I can only think that behind that comment is the fact the Chinese government knows that they are beginning to falter in terms of the actual economy. The reason being, like all economies, they ebb and flow. But China has had a tremendous run, and a lot of the profits now are beginning to go to the people, the entrepreneurs, and not less, because it's a huge economy. But they're also seeing things that are making them realize that when you hit this situation where there was a supply problem and the goods couldn't get here quickly enough, it tells them how vulnerable they are to the world tides, T-I-D-E-S. And therefore, the prosperity they've enjoyed for years now, not many years, but particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, of lower interest rates, which enables their businesses to really prosper, that's coming to an end. And they're fearful of that. Much as they are fearful of China, when I was there in 2000 and whatever it was, they had a one-child policy. And that changed, we'll call it, a couple of years ago. Well, Chinese women decided they wanted to be active in business and this, they want children for whatever. The Chinese are beginning to panic a little on this because population growth has been very important to economic growth. So as much as they might want to thump their chest and say, we're great and so forth, they are having some unique problems. Now, the Japanese have dealt with a declining population, but in a different way. They adjusted to it. It's a smaller economy anyway. But bottom line, I think the Chinese are just fearful of an economic decline generally, and putting a punctuation on it, their real estate industry, as you can read if you want to, is in terrible shape. Easy money has enabled the Chinese easy money has enabled the Chinese people to speculate in real estate to the point, maybe it's not quite Las Vegas, but it's akin to it. And by raising rates here, which influences rates everywhere, that will accentuate the tremendous hit that the country, will get in their real estate business, which will impact their entire country. I said this many shows ago, not many, I don't remember. Once money is too easy for too long, people, rightfully so, if they time it right, start speculating, taking that money and putting it into high-risk assets, which real estate is if you're trading it. That has happened in China. And when we raise rates, and they're going higher as I speak, the Chinese real estate market, which was already being monitored very closely and pushed around to safer ground by the Chinese government. So, little wonder they don't want us to raise rates.
All right, and a story which I think most Americans, this is a story that I think most Americans can't understand, and just for the sheer size of it. Activision is a computer company that's been in turmoil because of sexual harassment, misconduct allegations, and everything. Microsoft has offered to buy Activision, an all-cash deal, $68.7 billion. $68.7 billion. This is where I think American people, when they think they try to understand Wall Street, they think they try to understand the economy, they think they try to understand business, they see something like this, and it is inconceivable to them.
Well, people should feel it's inconceivable, and people therefore should say, I don't understand it. And people should then move to the side in terms of many speculative vehicles they might have. The thing is, it gets back to easy money. Microsoft is going to basically pay cash, so they say, but I don't know what the going rate is for Microsoft, tremendously safe, good company, but in the short term, 2-year governments are about 1%. Okay, 5-year governments are about 160. Okay, 10-year governments are about 180. So let's say why borrow, not from the government, but do the deal about 2%. Well, looking at where rates were several years ago, that's about half what you would have had to pay. And I really don't know the specifics of the deal in terms of Activision and this and that, but they think it's some kind of good business opportunity. The point is, the market affords them the opportunity to kind of, if you would, speculate. I would question, and Microsoft has been wonderful to me and others, I would question at this juncture a corporation paying $95 a share, which is up, God almighty, 30 points or something, for anything. This is the absolute wrong time to make a major acquisition for stock or for cash. We have the economy, I can't tell you, we have problems wherever you go. So, I don't know. I don't really know the ins and outs of the Activision, how it integrates with Microsoft, but just looking at the numbers, it doesn't make sense at this time because the economy is not going to be that good. People are staying home. People are getting conservative. There's a tremendous amount of cash among, shall we say, the middle of class people, maybe a little less. We have a very conservative bent here. But again, I have to tell you, if you own either stock, Microsoft I love, okay? But if you own Activision, I don't really get it, what the company is and so forth. But I really think the deal at these levels is more indicative of you can buy something cheap because you can finance it at very low rates.
Well, with that being said, we're out of time, and I want you to finish your coffee.
You dog. You dog. Did you watch Dallas?
Yes, and at the end of the game, I said, how about them Cowboys?
Oh, that was sad.
It was sad to watch. It was.
One of my son's kids. Oh, and it was funny, though. He's now 15. I've spoken to him several years at least when he's got into football. Dallas is his team. And he was so philosophical about it. His voice has changed, getting more mature. So for me, that call was worse. Dallas losing.
All right, Jim, we'll speak to you next week. Take care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.